I'm going to speak about the flood tonight, about Noah and the flood. You know about that, no doubt. The gospel is not about the flood, and it's not about Noah. So I'm going to use it as a picture to help you understand about the gospel. And the gospel is an old word, old English word, meaning good news. And that's good news. There's good news tonight. Good news. Wonderful news. Happy news. And it's about Jesus and God's love for you, and not just you children, but for everyone in this room. And I'm going to read from the book of Genesis, where we find this story. And just to say, it's not just a story, it's a history. Sometimes stories are just made up by people. But I believe this is what God, this is what happened. And in it is God's wisdom. And so I'm going to read from Genesis. And I'm going to read from Genesis, if it's all right. I'm going to read from the beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 6. Now, I'm not going to read the whole story because we'd be here quite a long time and it's quite warm this evening. So I'm going to just read a few verses, if that's all right. And it says in verse 5, "And Jehovah," that's God, "saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart only evil continually. And Jehovah repented that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. Jehovah said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the earth, from man to cattle to creeping things and to fowl of the heavens, for I repent that I have made them. But Noah found favour in the eyes of Jehovah." This is the history of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect amongst his generations. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was full of violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way in the earth. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is full of violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thyself an ark of gopher wood with sails. Shall thou make the ark and pitch it inside and outside with pitch." And then if I go down into the next chapter, and it says there, chapter 7, verse 1. Jehovah said to Noah, "Go into the ark, thou and all thy house, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of all clean beasts thou shalt take to thee by sevens, a male and its female, but of the beasts that are not clean, two, a male and its female. Also the fowl of the heavens by sevens, male and female, to keep seed alive on the face of all the earth. For in yet 7 days I will cause it to rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And every living thing which I have made will I destroy from the ground." And Noah did according to all that Jehovah had commanded him. And then if we go down a little bit more in chapter 7, and it says in verse 16, "And that they that came male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and Jehovah shut him in." Then if we go on to chapter 8, in verse 6, "And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent out the raven which went forth going to and fro until the waters were dried from the earth. And he sent out the dove from him to see if the waters had become low on the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot and returned to him into the ark. For the waters were on the whole earth, and he put forth his hand and took her, brought her into the ark. And he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came to him at eventide, and behold, in her beak was an olive leaf plucked off. And Noah knew that the waters had become low on the earth. And he waited just another 7 days and sent forth the dove, but she returned no more to him." And then finally, just over the page, if you're in the same Bible as me, chapter 8, and verse 20. "And Noah built an altar to Jehovah." So why have I read about the flood? So I was on holiday in Norfolk a couple of weeks ago. And when you go around in Norfolk, when you go around the coast, what you'll find is there's lots of things to remind people that are walking past of the flood of 1953. And in 1953, there was a tremendous flood. It affected Holland and Belgium, and it affected all of the coast of England and Scotland. And there's little marks on the wall about how high up the waters came. And I was amazed. I was by one building. It said the water came up to here, and I was quite you know, a way up from the sea. And so I was sort of interested in it. I looked it up, and the high tide of this flood reached 18 feet. Now, I'm 6 foot tall, so imagine, if you look at the lights in this room, it would have been above the lights, the weight of water. And you know, over 300 people lost their lives, and 30,000 people had to leave their homes. It was terrible devastation. And it made me think about this flood, about those 300 people. If they'd known the flood was coming, they wouldn't have stayed in their homes, would they? And it made me think about the flood in the Old Testament. Now, why do we speak about the flood in the Gospel? Because the flood is mentioned, it's spoken of, not just right at the beginning of the Bible, but in the book of Job, and you'll find it in a reference to it in Isaiah, and then you'll find that the Lord Jesus, the Saviour, spoke about the flood and Noah. What he says is, a bit like those people in 1953, he said they ate and they drank, they married and they were given in marriage until Noah, the day Noah went into the ark. And so he said life just carried on the way it had always done. And then there came a moment. Now, the reason that I preach the gospel and speak about Jesus is I want you to be ready. I want you to be ready, because there is a day when God is going to judge the habitable earth in righteousness, and he's going to do it in righteousness. He's going to be absolutely fair, absolutely fair. There was someone in the Old Testament called Abraham, and he said, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" We can absolutely rely on God being fair. We might have lots of questions on our mind about the state of the world, but you know, I come back to it. There's a few anchor points in my life. God is absolutely fair and righteous. And it tells us in the Bible about, it uses an example of scales. The scales, the just balances, it says in the Proverbs, are the Lord's. There's no sort of dodginess and sort of weighing things down. They're absolutely perfectly balanced. He weighs up everything perfectly and judges fairly. And at this moment, it tells us, in the moment when Noah was around, it tells us that the earth was full of violence. I don't need to tell you that the earth is full of violence today. I don't know if you've ever seen any violence. Now, you children, you're probably preserved from that, and that's a wonderful thing. May the Lord keep your eyes from seeing violence. As a young man, I saw an armed robbery. I witnessed it. I came across the man who'd been beaten with a gun. It was horrific. And, you know, the world has been... The world's full of violence today. There are people killing each other through pride, through ego, because they want other countries that don't belong to them. There's all sorts of wickedness going on. The earth was full of violence. It was much worse here then. I believe today the Holy Spirit restrains men, wicked men, from what they're doing. Imagine if there was no restraint. It's a blessing at the present time when we worry about what's happening between the nations to know there is him that restrains. That's a wonderful peace in my heart. To know that God knows the end from the beginning. He's not surprised by the crazy behaviour of men. Everything, he is over all. But the world was then full of violence, and God saw it. And then he found this one man. Now, it doesn't say, the Bible doesn't say Noah was perfect. It says, amongst his generations, compared to all these other people, Noah stood out. He was a man that walked with God. He's a man that sought to please God. He said, it says here, he was a just man and he walked with God. That's a great start, you know. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, a lot of people don't fear God. Some people don't believe in God. I was once at a preaching when I was a young chap, and I lived up in Glasgow. And there was a lot of boys and they were fooling around and harassing the preacher. And he read from the Psalms and he said, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." And he said, "I hope there's no fools in this room." The fear of the Lord is a beginning of wisdom. And Noah was a man that feared God. He reverenced God. He wasn't terrified of God. He reverenced God. He reverenced the Almighty God. And that's a great start to know that you're not the biggest person in the universe. God is greater than you. And he walked with God. And God gave him something to do. God didn't want to destroy these people. He wanted to give them a chance to repent. And so he set him this task of building an ark. And the ark was like a big boat. It didn't need a sail on it or anything. It was just to sort of float while God poured down water on the earth. And the fountains of the deep broke so that those inside the ark were safe. And if I just paint that little picture for you in the gospel, if you trust in the Lord Jesus, you are absolutely 100% safe. You are safe from the wrath to come. You're safe from whatever might happen in life. You're in the Saviour's hands. The one who I was reading this morning is the originator of life. Everything we see as it's being through him. Praise be his name. You're absolutely safe. And you know, the wonderful thing about God's love and grace is that he gave people a long time to repent. So Noah was asked to build this ark, and the ark was, in imperial measurements, about 500 feet long, which is long. No, it's long. This is a big, big boat. Very, very, very big. On Friday, I went to see a little company in Rye. And my job is, I work with aeroplanes. And this is a very old aeroplane. They're trying to restore to fly. It's 80 years old. They're having to build a new fuselage for it. And it's 40 feet long, which probably as wide as this room. And there was one man working on it. And it's going to take several years to finish this wooden structure. Beautiful work. And I'm thinking, and it made me think about Noah. He had to build this enormous ship. And you think that people come past, they wouldn't have seen any rain, they wouldn't have seen any water, they wouldn't have seen the sea. And I just thought, what's he doing? The Bible tells us he was a preacher of righteousness. What was he doing? What did he say anything? The Bible doesn't tell us anything Noah said, you know, about this to people. But they saw what he was doing. They must have asked questions. They must have laughed at him. There are people today that laugh at Christians. They laugh at the Bible. I think it has no account to them at all. The gospel is a message of good news, but it's also a warning. Don't fear God, because God loves you. That's the message of the gospel. God loves you. He wants to bless you. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be safe for not just for time, but for eternity. And don't be like those that the Apostle Paul preached to many years ago in Athens. And they said, oh, you know, listen to him. And some, you know, sort of laughed at him. And then some, oh, we're here again from you about this. There's not really a promise of another week, is there? We don't come to here and say, next week, if you come back, I'll tell you a bit more. I wouldn't be responsible to tell you. The Bible tells us now, 20 past six, now is the well-accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And so he built this ark. What amazing work it was. It was built of gopher wood. Now, we can be all very interested in this. I wonder what gopher wood is. And lots of people speculate, you know, was it cedar or some other thing? It doesn't matter. God told him to build it out of this wood because it was wisdom and it was pitched, so it was nice and watertight. And you know what it says? Noah did what he was told. That's a blessing in the gospel, the obedience of faith. God asks you to trust in Jesus. He asks you to believe in Jesus. He asks you to look at Jesus, lifted up on the cross, and look at him and not hide your face, not look away, not run away. Look at him and say, Jesus, God says, this is my answer to your problems in your life, your sin. Look at him and live. Jesus died on the cross for you. God's son, the son of his love. I love my son. God loved his son. He was prepared for him to die. I'm not prepared to do that. God loved you so much. He gave his son, and his son was lifted up on the cross to die. And he asked you to look and to say, he did that for me. Not for the person sat next to you, person outside, person in a different country. That's all true. He did it for me. And then the gospel is very personal. It's intensely personal. You have to answer, not your mum and dad, not the next door neighbour. You have to answer to it. And the people that heard Noah had to make a choice. Are you going to go into the ark, or are you going to laugh from the outside? And there are only eight people saved. Only eight people. He went into that ark, were obedient to what God said. They didn't laugh, they were obedient. They went into the ark. And you know what? The animals were also obedient. They were told to go, and the creation answered. And there is a testimony. There were people that were obedient, and they went into the ark. And the Bible tells us God shut them in. They were absolutely safe. If you trust in the Lord Jesus, you are safe. You are sure. I listened to a man 3 weeks ago talking, giving an account of his conversion. He's a young man of about 25. And he lived the most terrible experience. His mother had been murdered by her partner. And his life had fallen apart. He'd fallen into drugs and drink and all sorts of terrible things. And the Lord had found him and changed him. And he actually said, I forgive the man that murdered my mother. Where do you find the grace for that, friend? You find it in the love of God in your soul. It changes your outlook. It changes how you think about things. It changes how you see things. It changes your life. It's changed my life. I would be a completely different person. My father is 90. And my mother's sort of saying, oh, you can clear out your study. So what my father, he says, still got our school reports. I'm one of six kids. And so he came last Lord's Day and he said, son, here's your school reports. I read my school reports. I looked at them and I thought, I was in terrible trouble when I was young. I read what the teachers had said. I wanted to throw it all in the bin. Anthea said to me, why are you worrying? It's all in the past. Oh, for the grace of God. Change your outlook. Made you different to the way you'd otherwise be. And you think about all that past. We think, well, we can't fix all that. There's a record. But you know what it says in the Bible? That God's going to blot it all out, all our sins. He's going to blot it out. There's no school reports in heaven. There's no record of what you've done. It's all dealt with because of the precious blood of Jesus. Praise be his name. What a relief that is. To know my sins. The hymn writer said, my sins not in part, but the whole were born on the cross and are gone evermore. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. They went in. They were safe. And then came this moment. You know, the only reason I read that little bit there was they were given another 7 days. So there was all these years of making this enormous ark. It doesn't say lots of people. It doesn't say his family helped him. It says Noah just built the ark. He built it. And then God gave another 7 days. And God's given us these few minutes tonight, these few minutes through his grace. He's not told us about next week. He's given us a few minutes just to, he appeals to us, he pleads with us. You look at the stars in the heavens and you look at the creation and you think the Almighty God is pleading with me? Me? I'm just one amongst 7-8 billion people and he's interested in me? Yes, he is. He absolutely is. And he pleads with you. And he wants to draw your attention to his son, the Lord Jesus, who gave his life. A ransom, for, you know, for everyone, anyone, anywhere who wants to appeal to him. Praise be his name. What a wonderful Saviour Jesus is. You know, Noah was in the ark, is when the rains came down. I don't like to think about God's judgment, you know. And in the Bible, people's eyes are not to look at God's judgment. The window faced upward. Noah didn't look out. I don't think he didn't look out and see drowning people. When God poured down judgment on Sodom, he told them not to look back. And when Jesus suffered on the cross, there was darkness. So no one should see the agony that he went through and his judgment. It's his strange work, it says in the scripture. No one could see the agony Jesus suffered in 3 hours of darkness. The hymn writer said, and hymn writers, people are just like us, trying to express what's in their hearts. It says, the darkness sought his woes to hide. His work is done. His work is done. dear friend, his work is done. His work is complete. And that's why the dove is so important. Because, you know, the olive only grows on the lower reaches of the mountain. So Noah knew when he came back, the dove came back in a beak with that olive piece of the olive tree. He knew the waters had gone right down. He knew the judgment was exhausted. You know, I meet sometimes very unhappy Christians because they think God's still got something against them. God hasn't, dear friend. The work is done. Jesus said, it is finished. Sins past, present, and whatever might be to come have been dealt with entirely out of God's sight, as far as the east is from the west, blotted out. He says, their sins and lawlessness, I will never remember anymore. What relief that is. You know, when we think about our sins, we get absolutely distraught. No, God looks on the blood of Jesus and he's absolutely satisfied. And so Noah came to this moment when they came to come out of the ark, and Noah built an altar. And in the Old Testament, no one's asking you to build an altar today, but it's just a simple way of saying that he worshipped. He was so thankful, he wanted to lift his eyes up to heaven, and he wanted to thank God for what he'd done. My question is, have you done that? Have you ever done that? Well, you didn't have to be in here, you don't have to be in a church. Have you ever, just in a little moment in your life, just lifted your eyes up towards heaven and thanked God for sending Jesus, just on your own? You know, worship often is done together with other people, and that's a very happy thing. You can share the joy of the Lord together. But he just lifted up his eyes. I think, you know, the people that lifted up their eyes and just thanked the Lord, that's a wonderful thing to do. That's the end of the gospel. That you and I should be brought into God's house, that we should know we belong there. We're part of God's family. And we want to express our thanks to him. We want to honour him, not just in what we say, but what we do. And you know, I need help to do that every day of my life, because I'm surrounded by, I go to work tomorrow, there'll be people swearing and kicking off and making fuss about this, that and the other. How will I stand out in that sea of people? How will I render testimony to the hope that's in me, the hope of the coming of the Lord, the joy that I have that God loves me, and that God loves me so much, he's given his Son, and he's given his Holy Spirit, and he's given me a hope of what's yet to come, and he's given me other Christian friends, how much he's given me. How perhaps little I thank him, but we can all thank him. Where we are, in our seat, together, just on our own, in our little moments on our own. May you thank him. He loves you. He deserves your voice of thanksgiving to him. Jesus gave his life on Calvary's cross, and he actually went into death. You know, death is such a thing. We, four weeks ago, I was in Glasgow, and I went to see the family that looked after me for 4 years when I was studying. And my landlady had three children, and I remember them all really well. One of them lived in the same house as me for 4 years, and I saw her. It was good to see her, and I asked her about her oldest son. She said to me, I'm worried about him. You know, he doesn't seem well. I'm worried about him. He lives out in Turkey now. He's a teacher, but I'm worried about him. And while I was there, she got a message saying he got terminal illness. And a week later, he was gone. And I think it was the Lord's timing that I should be there when this happened. And she said to me, she said, I won't see him again, but she said, John has his faith. He had his faith in Jesus. You know, life's short. We don't know what day will bring forth. Don't despise God's grace. Don't be like those in Noah's day who saw all of that building and probably laughed at him. God was pleading with them, and God is pleading with you. Answer to his call. find refuge in the ark, trusting, as it were, in Jesus. And may you be a worshipper, for his name's sake.